All right, well, good morning, MCC. Anybody excited to be in God's house today? We're excited you're here. It's going to be a great morning. Already has been a great morning. Thanks for worshiping Jesus with us. What a great thing that God is doing in our midst. Amen? We love to see what God is doing in your hearts. You know, Wednesday night, I don't think Glenn mentioned it, we had 200 people here on Wednesday night at prayer meeting. And so, just phenomenal. So thank you for coming. I was talking to Russ earlier. Where's Russ at? Russ had surgery that morning. Is that correct? And then came here that night. If he had not come, we would have had $199. And so I told Russ, thank you for being here for prayer meeting. And so I appreciate that kind of dedication. I expect it universally from all of us, whether you have surgery, I mean, whatever it takes, you'd be here on prayer meeting nights. We're glad you're here. Hey, we're in the last week of a series called Uncharted, which has been going through the book of Joshua, kind of piece by piece. Today, we're going to wrap the last part of the book up. And it's been a great season so far, but we're talking about the idea of taking a new territory, kind of stepping into new seasons. Some of you are in a brand new season where maybe you're walking into marriage. Maybe you just got married. Maybe you have kids that you just started having kids. Maybe you're in a new career, maybe education, some new things there. It could be retirement. Maybe you're on the other end of that whole journey and you're finding yourself in a new season of retirement. Whatever it is, we believe that Joshua has some great principles for us to walk into new seasons, uncharted territory with. And today we're going to wrap it up, and it's going to be a great day. We're going to talk about the idea of finishing well. Every great conquest has an end, amen? And so we're going to talk about what it means for us to finish well as believers in Christ. So before we get there, I want to go back to the very beginning of Joshua, and I want to start by reading the initial mission that God gives to Joshua and his people. It's starting in chapter 1, starting at verse 2. These are the words that God says to Joshua. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land which I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." So God says, every place that you put your foot is going to be your possession. This is your land. And so the basic idea is this: Joshua, as long as you keep moving forward, you're going to keep gaining new ground. As long as you keep moving forward, every step that you take is a new place that will be your possession. So now in chapters 23 and 24, we're going to see the last words of Joshua. This is about 28 years later. Joshua's going to make these closing statements to the nation of Israel. He's 110 years old. Everyone say, that's old. He's an old man talking to this nation, giving his final words to them. And we're going to start in verse 1 of 23. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and he said to them, "I'm very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that," say this word, "remain. The nations and the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out from before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you." Let's pray and we'll get into this word. God, thank you so much for the power of your word. God, we thank you for its perfection. We thank you that it edifies and strengthens us. God, we thank you that it convicts us. We thank you that it transforms us. Father, today we want to be students of this word so we can learn from it, but we also want to be those, God, who don't just hear and learn the word. We want to be doers of this word. And so, Father, I pray that whatever you want to speak to us, let it be spoken and let us be hearers and doers of what you say. God, we give you all the praise. We give you the thanks, and we pray for your anointing and power in this moment. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a kid, I was born in the late 70s, grew up in the 80s, and one thing I loved as a kid was Star Wars. Anybody else like Star Wars in the house? All right, we got a few Star Wars fans. When I was, I think the year I was born, actually, the first Star Wars, A New Hope, came out. And so it's episode 4, but it's the first one, which is confusing if you're not a Star Wars person. But that's how it works. So A New Hope came out that year. And there's a classic line at the very end of the movie, and if you don't know it, I'll kind of describe it, but the Death Star was this massive planet, you know, blowing up thing, right? And so they were down in the Death Star trench trying to take out this massive Death Star. And so there's a guy in the movie called Gold 5, and Gold 5 leads other people into that trench, and he has a classic line that I want you to remember now as you see this scene.
Oh, good, I can't maneuver.
Stay on target.
We're too close.
Stay on target. Stay on target. Stay on target.
Loosen up.
Stay on target. Stay on target. Stay on target.
Loosen up.
Stay on target. Stay on target. Stay on target.
All right. That might have been slightly modified from the original, but the basic idea is stay on target. So as Joshua closes out the book and then closes out his life saying to these people, he's basically saying that. He's saying, listen, you guys have seen a lot of victories. You've seen a lot of land that you've taken. But now I'm telling you, make sure that you stay on target. Go back to the original mission that all this land, everywhere that you place your feet, is going to be your possession. So make sure you keep moving forward. It's not done yet. So make sure you stay on target. It will be, as he says, it will be your possession. He's saying you started well, but make sure that you also finish well. This is today's big idea. Anybody can start well, but finishing well requires focus on the right, everyone say it with me, targets. On the right targets. I want to give you guys today, as we go through 23 and 24, just kind of pulling some pieces out, I want to give you three targets today that I believe are going to help you not only start well, but they're going to help you continue so that you finish well. I believe, God, for every person in this place, that God doesn't want you just to start things well. He wants you to finish well. He wants your family to finish well. He wants your marriage to finish well. If you're single in the place today, you're single in the house, He wants your singleness to also finish well. Maybe you've been looking for a spouse and kind of praying, and He wants that season of singleness to end with a phenomenal godly guy, a phenomenal godly girl. So whatever season you find yourself in, know this, God loves that you started, but He wants you to finish this race. Amen? Now, if you're not like a Jesus person, maybe you're not really a believer today, but you come to church, maybe somebody invited you for the first time, let me just say that that most of this is probably going to also apply to your life. And so whether it's in business or it's in family or relationships, much of what we're going to talk about is going to apply to you as well. There is definitely a Jesus component, right, to all these things. We're Jesus people, amen? Come on, MCC. We're Jesus people, amen? We love Jesus. But we love that God also speak to us practically in kind of the ways we live our life. And so if you're not a Jesus person yet, we're praying for you. But also know, though, that God might speak to you through this as well. So Joshua 23 and 24, we're going to move forward. I'm going to actually go back to one verse we just read. When he closed that statement out, he said, "You will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you." Target number one today is this. Focus on the right finish line. If you're taking notes, write that down. Target number one, focus on the right finish line. Now, you might say, Matt, isn't there only always one finish line? And the answer to that is yes, there is one finish line. But if you ask a guy named Adam Tupelik, he's a world-class cyclist, and he was running the world championships of the cyclocross a couple years ago, and Adam had a really unfortunate mistake in his run. He was leading the pack, coming to the end of the race, and this is what happened.
One lap of racing to go, and Tupelik is sprinting flat out now to try and keep these Belgians at bay. Oh, no. He thinks he's won.
No.
No, it's one lap to go. It's one lap of racing to go. No, he hasn't heard it. It's one lap of racing to go. And he thinks he's won the world title.
This is Adam on the left side here. He gets second place, but he's not happy about it, right? He's not happy. Adam ran his race to a false finish line. The greatest obstacle for you to finishing well is often going to be a false finish line. It's the idea that I can stop where I'm at, or I can stop when I get this far, but the actual call of God is beyond that. Does that make sense? If you're 20 years into your marriage and you think, you know what, we've gone far enough, I'm good. I'm done. I want to move on. That's a false finish line, right? If you're single and you're like, you know what, man, I've been trying, I've been dating, I've been doing all this stuff, going from bar to bar, trying to find somebody good. That's probably your problem right there. come on, you come to MCC, find a good single man, he'll be here. But you're like, man, I've just had enough. I'm kind of done. I want to settle with somebody that just doesn't, maybe isn't a Christian, but it's probably good enough. No, it's not good enough. You need to find a godly man. You need to find a godly woman. Don't stop short of what God's called you to do. Amen? Keep pressing forward. Keep putting yourself out there. Let's go. God's got something great for you. We don't want to ever stop at a false finish line. So where in your life are you stopping short? Is it working toward a degree? Is it in your career maybe? You're like, you know what? I'm tired of moving forward. I'm tired of like kind of pushing things down the road. I just want to stop where I'm at. Maybe God's calling you to go another step farther. Or maybe it's a few more steps. There's a great story in the, it's kind of a sad story, but it's a great story in the book of Joshua about a tribe called the Danites. They were the tribe of Dan. And it's really interesting because the Danites were given a specific spot. Let me give you a map real quickly up here. So this map shows the nations that are going to be driven out by the Israelites, right? This is what God has called them to remove from the land. So you have the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Cellulites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Philistines. So you have all these lands that are there in the mix that God's called them to be removed. Now, this is how at the end of Joshua, this is how Joshua is going to give allotments to all the land, right? He's going to give all the tribes a different spot, and this is how it looks. Check this out. So I want you to notice down in the middle on the left side there is the nation of Dan. Now, when God describes the space that Dan's going to be in, this is where it's at, right here. Let me kind of read this text out of Joshua chapter 19 to you. This is what it says. The seventh lot came out for the tribe of Dan, according to its clans. The territory of their inheritance included Zorah and a bunch of names that I can't pronounce, and so we're going to just put dot, dot, dot right there. But this is how it closes out in verse 47. It says, when the territory of the Danites was lost to them, they went up and they attacked Leshem and they took it. They put to the sword and occupied it. They settled in Leshem, named it Dan after their ancestor. Okay, so let me show you another map real quickly here. So this is again where Dan was called to be. This is kind of an overlay of those two maps. So you can see underneath this map, you see where Dan's at? See underneath that? The Philistines lived there. And this is kind of like a really intense warring nation, right? They were fighters. And so Dan and Judah were given this specific place because in the earlier censuses, Dan and Judah had the largest number of troops. They were warring tribes. And so God had specifically put Dan and Judah in this place to drive out the Philistines. But as we saw in verse 47 of 19 there, it says that Dan came in and kind of began to do some warfare in that area, began to push in, but they had resistance and they were pushed back out. So they left, the next map here, the next little thing, they left and went up north and they settled in a northern area in the nation. Now what happens over time is this. Dan becomes the northernmost part of the nation. Manasseh does not control all that area. They control part of it, but not that far north. And so Dan ends up being the most northern spot in the nation. Now, over the centuries to come, warring nations and empires are going to come through here. And what's going to happen is Dan's going to become the punching bag for every nation that comes through. So every nation that comes through is going to hit Dan first and devastate it until eventually Dan becomes extinct. It gets wiped off the map. And if you go to Revelation chapter 7, when the angel lists the tribes of Israel, it does not mention Dan. So when Dan decides, he said, you know what? We've gone far enough here. This is what God told us to have. This is the allotment God gave us. We've pushed him. We've had resistance. We're going to back off and go somewhere where we can easily conquer those people. And they head north to a small community named Lashem. When they did that, they ran to a false finish line and stopped short of God's call. Remember, God's call was take possession. Drive it out. Now, as you probably know, the Philistines are going to become this real thorn in the side of Israel for centuries to come. So for a long time, including Goliath, right, they're going to be warring with this nation, trying to drive them out because Dan was not willing to do what God had called them to do. Listen, allotment does not mean attainment. If you're going to move forward in the things of God, I don't care if God's called you or not, your calling is subject to your obedience. If you don't move forward and say, I will obey God to the end, to the point of even for them bloodshed, I will give everything I have to follow God in obedience. The calling is not the same as success. God's called you to move forward, but you can choose to run to a false finish line and stop short and say, I'm good enough. This is where I will end. But I'm telling you right now, there is a finish line. Amen? There is a finish line. It's out in front of us somewhere. Paul refers to it in 2 Timothy 4:7. You know this verse. He says, I fought the good fight. And then he says this, I have what? Finished the race. I have what? Kept the faith. He doesn't say I started the race. He doesn't say I held on to it for a while. He says, no, I finished the race that God gave me. Listen to verse 8, though. I love this. Check this out. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, next slide, thank you, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. So Paul says here, I fought all the way to the very end. I didn't stop short. I didn't give up when the going got hard. He's writing this passage from a Roman prison. He's writing this passage, knowing he's coming to the end of his life, and he's fought every fight that God called him to fight. He's run every step that God called him to race. He has been in it from the beginning, and now he's coming to the end, and he's saying, I've been faithful to everything God called me to be faithful to. I love what he says there, that the Lord himself, the righteous judge, is going to put a crown on my head, a crown of righteousness. I think about Revelation chapter 4. It's a passage where it's kind of describing the worship of heaven, right? And it says the angels are around the throne and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And then it says the 24 elders, check this out, the 24 elders take off their crowns and they lay them at the feet of the Lamb and they say, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because you created all things and by your will they were created. I wonder if on that day when, like Paul, you and I will cross that finish line and we'll be in the presence of God, I wonder if when he puts that crown of righteousness on our head, if we'll take it right back off and we'll say, no, Jesus, you are worthy. I couldn't even be here today if it hadn't been for what you have done for me. Jesus, you are worthy of all the glory. I'm going to give you the most precious thing I have to give you right now, which is the crown you placed on my head. I'm going to take it off and I'm going to lay it at your feet. Jesus, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. I wonder if on that day, that'll be how we start eternity with Jesus. If we'll lay our crowns at his feet. And maybe we'll think of an old song and we'll think, crowning with many crowns, right? I wonder if we'll be thinking in that moment, Jesus, you're worthy of every crown. We are worthy of nothing. Everything we have, you gave to us. Amen? There will be a day when we'll cross the finish line and it will be face to face with Jesus. But until that day, if you want to make it to not a false finish line, but that finish line, you've got to focus not only on the end, but you've got to focus on the path that is leading you to it. Joshua 23, verse 6. Be very strong. This is Joshua speaking to the leaders of the tribes. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. You are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. Target number two, focus on your daily walk. Focus on your daily walk. Often in Scripture, the Christian walk is referred to just in those terms. It's like a walk. It's a path. The Bible talks about a narrow path, right? A narrow road that leads to life. It talks about a place that is straight. It speaks often of our Christian walk as just that, a walk toward Christ and toward eternity. So what Joshua says here is, listen, the mission that God has given you, that's the mission. And he says, make sure that as you're looking at the end target, which is the possession of the whole land, right? It's that like distant mission and distant goal. He says, make sure that as you look toward that goal, that you also don't forget to watch your steps as you go. Make sure that you walk in obedience. Don't just know. He didn't say, hey, make sure you go and know all the law of Moses. No, he said, make sure you do obey the law of Moses. Don't just know what's written. Do what is written. A few weeks ago, my family, we all headed to that place called Top Golf. If you've seen that, it's kind of this big three-level golf place, and you can go up there, and we went to the third floor, and basically how it works is you have all these big round targets in front of you, and so you have choices of different clubs that are there, and the farthest targets that are out in this big grassy area are the ones that if you hit those targets off the tee, you get the most point value. So we had a little game we were going to play with each other, and so the computer tracks it all. It's really amazing how it works, but so my whole family was there. Judah came home that weekend from school, and we were just excited to go out and hang out together. And so I decided, like, first thing, that as a man, I'm only going to use the driver, right? Like, I'm only going for the distant, like, goals, because those are the big money goals. That's where I want to go. And so as the man of the house, I feel like I have to just only go to, right? Guys, are we right? How many men, you do the same thing? Come on. That's right. Come on. I don't know anything about golf. I've never really played golf, and so we had a great time. But I got up the first time, man, got off that tee, and did my best swing. I mean, just going for the fences. It went like 50 yards. It was awesome. Just like total slice off the right side. It was incredible. And so my daughter, she pulls out, not like a driver, she pulls out like, I think it's like a 9-iron, like the small one, right? So she gets up and she just knocks it right off the tee, and it goes like 25, 50 feet, but it goes right into this little small kind of round circle, the small goal that's right in front of us, and she gets points on the board. And so we keep going. I keep trying for the fence every time, right? I'm hooking it, I'm slicing it. It's going every direction except for the one I want it to go. And every time she's just getting up and knocking it right off the tee and just down into the hole right down below us. And so at the end of the game, my daughter, 12 years old, weighs about 45 pounds. She beats all of us because she was focused on not a long game, but she was focused on a short game, right? In life, if you want to go the distance, if you want to finish well, you're going to have to be focused on the short game. If you focus short, you'll be able to go far. Amen? In the church, we talk about this in kind of terms of like daily obedience, daily walk with Christ. And let me just say this. There is a lack right now in much of the church when it comes to obedience preaching. Okay? There's a lot of pastors that they're great people, and I'm not dogging them. They're awesome. They're wonderful people, but there's an emphasis at times that I think is undue. This idea of the grace of God. Grace is really important. We're thankful for the grace of God. Amen. We're thankful that every day there are new mercies that await us. But the reality is, as Paul says in Romans 6, he says, "So should we continue in sin so that grace may abound?" And then he says, no, certainly not. So guys, Let me just say this. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. This is not a judgmental moment, but this is a long distance moment. My job as a pastor, our job as pastors, is to help you finish well. It's great that you started well. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad that you're in church, and I believe that for some of you, this is like the first week, the first moment where God's going to take you into this long-term journey following Christ, and it's going to be awesome. But my goal as a pastor has to be that when you stand before Jesus, this is what you hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. If you get there and Jesus says, you know, you knew a lot of stuff, but man, you never walked in obedience to me at all. You didn't walk the path that would lead you into eternity. That'll be a sad day for you, but it'll also be a sad day for me. God's given us a charge as pastors, as ministers of God's word, to be faithful, not just to the grace, but also to the rest of it, which is we got to walk in obedience. Every day, we choose to take up our cross and follow Jesus. And that's what's necessary if we're going to finish well. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2 to the Philippian church. He says, work hard. Are we saved by our works? No, we're saved by grace, right? Through faith. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Now, this is the great news, right? You can't even want the right things unless God gives you the power to want those things, right? You can't even will to want the right things unless God just helps you. And so the same God who's going to give you the desires to do those things that are right is also going to empower you to do those things that are right. That's the good news. God doesn't just tell you to do stuff. He says, I will tell you to do stuff, and then I will empower you to accomplish it, both to desire and to do what pleases God. As you choose to walk in obedience day by day, step by step, walking in the Spirit, aligning yourself with his word, all those things, God will give you the power to accomplish his purposes for your life. Amen? All right, he's going to help us to see the right targets. He's going to help us to hit those targets, but only as we, third target, here we go, write it down, only as we focus on Jesus. As we focus on Jesus. I'm going to skip forward to Joshua 24. This is kind of some famous words that Joshua closes this book out with. He says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors who worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And then he says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What a strong statement, right? But there are people here today that you've maybe been in church, maybe for years even, maybe for decades. Maybe you grew up in church and you're an adult now and you have your own kids. And maybe you're here because you think it's good for them to be in church, which it is. It's great. Maybe you've never made a decision to put your focus on Jesus as the center of your life. Now I would just ask you, what are you waiting for? Jesus is the bullseye in all these targets, right? It's great to not run toward false finish lines. It's great to be obedient to God with your daily life. But the reality is you need to begin all that with a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never chosen to put your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting for? Maybe you've heard this type of a moment a billion times, like you've heard people communicate the gospel and what Christ has done for you. But for whatever reason, you've never gone and said, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to begin to serve you with all that I am. You will be my primary affection in life. I give myself completely to you. Maybe you've never made that decision. Or maybe you're here today and you're kind of living what we call like a casual Christian life, right? Maybe you'd say, I believe in Jesus, and I go to church, I'm part of a small group, whatever it may be. But if you're honest, you'd say, you know what? When it comes to the targets of my life, Jesus is not at the center of that target. He's kind of somewhere on the periphery. Like he's out there. He's part of my life. I love Jesus, and I love, you know, being part of his people and all that kind of stuff. But you would say, you know what? If I'm honest, I just never really put him right at the center and said, Jesus, you will be the center of my life. And all my affections will be focused on you. You will be first and best of all that I do. If you've never done that, today is a great day to listen to what Joshua said when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If that's you today, it's a good day to take some uncharted territory, amen? It's a good day to begin to walk forward in some spiritual things and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to serve Christ with all that I am. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to give my very best to Jesus, and I'm going to honor him with my life, because there will be a day when you'll see him. There will be a day when you and I are going to cross that line, and we're going to step into eternity. And when we see Jesus, man, I hope that God says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. Why don't y'all stand up with me? In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want to receive Christ today, I'm going to ask you to simply raise your hand. We're going to pray a prayer together. And we're going to believe and trust that what God's word says is true, that when you pray that prayer of confession, that Jesus Christ is going to step into your life. You're going to be, what the Bible says, is a new creation in Christ. All the old, all the shame, all the sin, all that stuff is going to be passed away. You will be a new person in Christ. Before we do that, though, can I just say one thing? If you've accepted Christ recently, or you do today, after this service, we've got a baptism class right around the corner in M1. And I would encourage you, like when you say that prayer, that is kind of the starting blocks, right? It's like you hear the gun go off and you are beginning to run with Jesus, right? It's the first steps off the starting block. But part of your first lap following Christ needs to be baptism. It's one of the first things that God calls us to do in obedience. And so I would encourage you, if you make a decision to follow Christ today, or you have recently but have not been baptized, I would just encourage you, let's be obedient first in that. Amen? Let these first few steps of your relationship with Christ include that one thing that he calls us to in obedience. I'm going to ask for every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to receive Christ. If you've never placed your faith in Jesus for salvation, you've never invited him to become Lord of your life, to forgive all your sins, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand and say, Matt, I want to receive Jesus today. I want to begin to live my life for him. Maybe you did when you were young, you were a kid, but you've never really walked out that faith. And today is a day where you're going to say, as for me and my house, we will serve. If you're here and that's you, and you would say, that's me, Pastor Matt, I want to receive Christ today. If that's you, please raise your hand right where you're at across this room. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, man, right in the middle. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yep, I see you in the back. Praise God. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Christians, we're praying. Praying for people to come to Christ today. Anybody else? Real quickly. I don't want to belabor the moment. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to do what Romans 10 tells us. It says to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we're going to pray that prayer of confession. And we're going to believe that Jesus is going to step into your life and be Lord of your life today. I'm going to ask you to pray after me. Everyone say, Jesus, please come into my life. Change me from the inside out. Make me a new creation. I want to live for you from this day forward until that day when I cross my finish line in your presence. I want to hear you say, well done. And I thank you for the life you've given to me. By your death, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give a hand to those who today responded that way? Let me pray over you real quickly before you head out. I'm going to pray that God would help you to finish well. That whatever you're walking into right now, maybe it's a season that you're in when it comes to your degree you're aiming toward or your career, whatever it may be, I'm going to ask that God would just give us the grace to not only desire, but also to accomplish His will. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray for this church today in Jesus' name. God, I pray for each person that is here that is in a race. And whatever that may be, God, whether it's their marriage, whether it's their family, whether it's their job, education, whatever it may be, Father, I pray for the grace today, the power today to not only know and desire your will, but also to accomplish it. God, we thank you today that we have all we need in Christ, that you not only give us the right desires, but you also empower us to fulfill them. We give you all the praise. You're so good, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome Sunday afternoon. If you want prayer, we'll be down front.